It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature. Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, the last episode of season 4, episode 136. Season 5, y'all, is going to be lit, much better, full of surprises. Hey, I can't wait to reveal what we're going to do. But anyway, it's your boy LA and bringing it as always, Tatiana. What's happening to you?
Oh, I have been sent on an errand to get fast food for my sister, so I'm waiting for it to come out.
I don't even want to ask what restaurant, but yeah, okay.
Why you don't want to ask what restaurant?
I'll tell you later. What is it, burger, fries, chicken?
All of the above.
Oh, wow. Y'all just binging, man.
Y'all, this is literally for her.
You're a great big sister, man.
Mm. I'm not trying that hard. No, I'm just playing.
it doesn't take hard, a lot, man. Especially when they look up to you, you know?
Yeah.
I did want to say, like, we were talking a little today, and I went to say people are really feeling Tatiana. And I just...
Who's feeling me?
Man, I get people telling me how much they appreciate you and how you keep it real and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, who's ever saying that.
Yeah. I think it's because you're, like, transparent and unapologetic and all that other stuff, but, yeah.
Well, I definitely try to be that way, for sure.
Yeah. Don't let it go to your head now, but, yeah.
I'm not promising you that, so I'm just going to be silent.
You're already starting off the wrong foot. You're supposed to say, hey, I'm humble. I get it. I appreciate it.
Well, what do you think? You've known me for years. Am I humble?
You are. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Hey,
you know, I got to put a 100 on 10. You know, that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
But I have in the past, like, people I mentored and manage, I've, like, given them kudos and, like, just really supported, and other people were bragging about their work and what they do. Then, like, time goes by, I get a phone call, and I'm like, your boy done got to his head, or your girl tripping now, you know, and you couldn't tell him anything after a while. So It's real. I was just kidding when I said for you, because I know you're not that tight, but I've seen it happen.
And honestly, I was just kidding when I said I couldn't promise anything but in my head.
We know that.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know. I feel like compliments are very meaningful when it comes from somebody whose opinion that you value. Yeah. And so just like random positive feedback from an unknown source, like, you know who's telling you this. I don't know where it's coming from. So it's kind of hard for it to go to my head when I'm like, I don't even know who's saying this and if they're what their word means.
Well, the other thing I'll say, too, is, like, people can cheer you on day one, and then day two, they're booing you. Like, any given Sunday, you just never know. You say the wrong thing or what they perceive to be the wrong thing. You just never know.
Yeah. Hmm.
They say heroes live long enough to turn into villains, you know, so.
I've never heard anybody say that.
You haven't?
No, I mean,
you either die a hero or turn into a villain.
I have heard people say, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah, I think that was Batman. You know, I'm a big Batman fan. I'm gonna have to Google that, but that's what I think.
Which one? The one I said or the one you said?
The one I said. I think that was Dark Knight.
Now I've seen Dark Knight. Maybe I just didn't commit that line to memory.
Yeah, because Harvey Dent, you know, he was the golden child or golden boy, and
The one who got his face messed up.
Yeah. Two-Face. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I probably just don't remember that line because.
You gotta get into the psychology of Batman.
Well, God, yeah. you just remember every little line from. Don't you remember when they said? I'm like, I watched that one time. I watched that one time. I was not piecemealing. Yeah, because remember when they said this and then they said this? No, I don't remember. You all remembering little stuff, and I'm like, sir, I can't commit unless I've seen something over and over and over and over again. I don't remember what they said.
Whatever. I cling on to words in general, anyway.
I'm sure.
But you know, it's something like something significant like that is just it sticks with you, right?
That particular line,
the impact. What it's saying, though.
I mean,
there's like a philosophy behind that.
I mean, okay.
I mean, going back to what I just said at the beginning, like, you know, one moment they're cheering you, and then the next moment, you know, it's like, you know, get them off. You know, we don't care for that person. Society 101 or sociology 101. Hey, Super Bowl, you going to check it out? You have a favorite thing?
I will probably watch the halftime show.
Yeah.
On YouTube, maybe. I don't know how you. So, where is the Super Bowl available live? I say this because, first of all, I don't have actual channels. And second of all, I heard that this season you could stream the season, but you had to have like all kind of different streaming platforms. And so, certain games are going to be on certain platforms, other games are going to be on other platforms. So I wouldn't even know which particular platform this particular game is even going to be on. Like, you over here laughing at me, but there's actual, seems like, logistical information you have to even access the season.
Well, to your point, I do remember now, last year it was on Netflix. When you said streaming, I was like, yeah, she is right. Yeah, I have up like all of the streaming services, so I just forget. But yeah, it was on Netflix.
Wait, that's why you were laughing? Because you didn't think it was streaming?
No, not that, but it was like, I was going to say one of the big networks, because it's NBC, I think. And I was gearing to say it's always NBC or Fox or CBS. And then I was like, no, it was on Netflix last year. Wasn't it? Am I wrong?
I don't
know. Doesn't that sound right?
I don't know. The only thing I saw last year was the Super Bowl show. And I saw it because after, like, the halftime show. And I saw that because after they put it up on Apple Music, and so I was able to look at the just the performance on Apple streaming, like, the next day. And I remember when Rihanna did the halftime show, actually I was in a restaurant at the time, so we were able to, it was like on the TV at the time, but like the Super Bowl show was on YouTube after. So I know that you can get the halftime show, but I don't even know how to watch the actual game.
Yeah, it's NBC.
You know that I don't have TV.
Well, you have Peacock. That's under the NBC umbrella. I don't know.
So they're going to put the Super Bowl on Peacock.
I don't know. I don't know. It would be a great idea if they did, but I don't know.
How you going to ask me and then you don't even got the information?
I just said NBC.
Yes, but you don't know if NBC is actually reachable on Peacock.
You need to get you regular channels, man, like the traditional big three or big four.
How would I even get channels?
You just get you an antenna.
No, listen, this is not 1992. I am not getting an antenna. And actually, Penda tried this. She gave me an antenna in like 2018 or something. I didn't even. No, I still like, no, just if it's not available on streaming, don't expect me to watch it.
Well, it's available if you get like direct stream or a spectrum stream or something like that. But I know you don't want to spend that kind of money and get those. So the alternative is to get an antenna and switch the output to TV and watch it in real time. Big four networks, man. You just can't go without them, really, right?
I've been going without them, so yes, you can.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Well, I can. I'm just be clear.
Yeah.
So, do you have a team? Or are you going for that, or is it just all about the halftime show?
I gotta tell you, I don't even know who's playing.
Okay.
Gotcha. Is it the Chiefs?
No.
I don't know. The Chiefs was last year, right?
Yeah, they didn't have a really good season this year, so. The Cowboys are going. No, they're not. That's wishful thinking on my part. No,
I was about to say, if it's the Cowboys, then why didn't Rachel say that on Higher Learning?
No, it's New England Patriots and Seattle Seahawks. And like I was saying earlier, I'm not going to say I'm going or cheering for the Seahawks, but I think they're going to pull it off. So.
Okay, I don't feel like I can competently engage much more deeply in sports conversations. So I just want to know how much more deeply you're going to try to get.
That's it. Okay. Other than the only other thing for me, I love the Super Bowl commercial. Well, I haven't been that impressed in the past 2 or 3 years, but I used to just really look so forward to the Super Bowl commercials, you know.
Yeah, I know that has been a thing. I've never engaged in any part of the Super Bowl. The first time that I even saw even the halftime show was in 2018. And I haven't seen that many halftime shows. So that halftime show that was Justin Timberlake in 2018. Wow. I didn't see another Super Bowl halftime show until Rihanna. So that was like, what, 2022? Maybe
2023, I think.
Okay, that was the next time that I saw one. And then the next time was Kendrick Lamar. So I've seen 3 Super Bowl halftime shows, no actual games, and maybe a handful of commercials. I don't engage with the Super Bowl.
Okay, we'll switch then. Let's go to Black History Month. Let's talk about Black History Month. You're black. I'm black.
What you want to say about Black History? So this is the 100-year commemoration of us doing, so we had Negro History Week from 1916 1926 until 50 years later. Then in 1976 it became Black History Month, so it's the 50-year anniversary of Black History Month, but the 100-year anniversary of us commemorating Black history at all in this country.
Thank you. I love you dropped that nugget, because it was what, Black History Day or something like that first.
It was Negro History Week.
Negro History. God, I hate that word. Yeah, Negro History.
Yeah.
Day?
Week.
Week. Okay. So we had a week.
Yes.
Now we got a month. Okay.
Yes. The shortest month of the year.
Yeah. What does it mean? Huh?
I was going to say, but it is my second favorite month of the year because it is Black History Month.
That's cool. I like that. So what does Black History mean to you?
I think that it is, well, to me, I feel like Black History Month is a time to recognize just achievements, whether they be past or whether they be contemporary things that are going on. So I appreciate just the opportunity to be able to celebrate and give voice to all of the excellent things people are doing. And even though it is a U.S. Holiday or time, I also think that it's a good time to acknowledge the entire diaspora, or even things that are happening, you know, in Africa or whatever, just with Black people across the globe. So I love this time to just be able to shine a light on all the great things that Black people are contributing to society and have always contributed to society.
That was great.
About you?
So I'm not going to be as eloquent as you, I'll be honest, but the resilience piece of it has always been like just so inspiring to me. Just as a people, we have historically consistently taken lemons and made lemonade, you know, whether it's the bondage of being enslaved. We've evolved. I mean, the music, we've influenced so much in this kind of science, music, arts, sports. I mean, you can't think of, it's very few things you can think of that didn't have our influence or our hands in it. And so it just makes you proud. And the way we overcome or overcame those obstacles and adversity and still shine, it's just, again, it's inspiring and it's heartfelt.
Yeah.
So did you watch the Grammys?
No, I did not watch the Grammys. That's another thing. I don't even know how to watch the Grammys. I don't know how people access things. I'm sure it was streaming somewhere.
No, it was not. You're going to have to get an antenna. It was on antenna. Okay. It was on CBS.
I have rewatched Duran Bernard's acceptance speech like 7 times. Okay. So I've seen little clips. Like I did see the what do you call it? Like when they honored D'Angelo and Roberta Flack and Angie Stone. I saw that whole performance, and I saw Duran Bernard's acceptance speech, and I saw Cher, like a clip on social media of Cher accidentally saying that the award was going to Luther Vandross, who is famously dead, when it was actually Kendrick Lamar. And actually, I didn't know that Kendrick even had a song called Luther. So when I was first watching the clip of her saying that, I was like, Luther Van, like, why was she, what? And then when they panned to Kendrick, I was like, why is she confusing Kendrick with Luther Vandross? And then I realized that he had a song. I was like, okay, so now it makes sense. I'm like, what? So I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't even know. I'm sure you can stream it somewhere though.
Oh yeah, you probably can. Well,
it's probably
now there's a CBS app that you can download. I have that.
Well, if it's on CBS, it's probably not on Peacock.
What'd you say now?
At first, I was saying it's probably on Peacock by now, but if it's a CBS thing, it's probably not on Peacock.
Yeah, it's a CBS app. Because I got it to watch The Equalizer or to get caught up on it when I got behind, but
You only were able to access that for free, though, because you had that cable subscription.
That's right.
You told me that I could watch The Equalizer. I got, and that was not true. It wasn't true at all.
Well, wake up and get you an antenna then. That was all you have to do.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So the channel that The Equalizer comes on, you don't have to have cable. You can just have basic channels?
Yeah. She was on a major network.
Well, the other thing, though, is that when you don't stream, you have to watch it at the time that it's on.
Yeah.
I can't commit to be able to get to the TV at the time that it's on and watch it in real time and catch the entire episode. Like, I can't commit to that.
Unless you get Spectrum or Direct or something like that. But, yeah, you're right. Because you can record the shows then.
And then that's actual cable then at that point. That's not just the basic channel.
Yeah.
If you have the ability to pause live TV.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I think you could have watched the Grammys in real time. But here I am. I've protested Grammys for years, so I haven't seen them.
Why are you asking me?
I just asked because it was, this month is crucial when you talk about the Grammys and the Super Bowl. This is just the checklist, just making certain. But
month is crucial because it's Black History Month.
Well, that's true. But last year, I said it on this show, I continued my protest against the Grammys. They don't televise the gospel artists who win awards. I had to find out later on that Shirley Caesar won. Now, Tasha Cobb Leonard gave a phenomenal performance. And so I pulled that up on YouTube. And then I heard about Lauryn Hill leading the tribute to D'Angelo.
That's the word I was looking for.
Oh, leading that to Roberta Flack and D'Angelo. I haven't seen it in its entirety, but I heard that was phenomenal as well.
Yeah, I saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw it in its entirety. It seemed like it was the whole thing. Yeah.
But I'm still going to protest, man.
Yeah, because just the gospel or also because
I'm not a fan for other reasons too, but mainly I want them to televise the gospel. I know they're going to say, well, they're looking at it from a monetary, because I'm assuming, I shouldn't just jump to conclusions, but if you don't think people will stay glued into the TV. You may skip that. But I also think it's like discomfort in faith language on TV too. And people kind of...
What's comforting faith language mean?
Like when you hear people say, you know, talk about my faith. The best example I can give, I've seen awards shows where they say something that's socially competent and you'll get the cheers. But if someone says, you're okay now if you say, you know, first I want to thank, you know, my Lord and Savior Jesus, or if I say I want to thank God first, that's it. You stop right there. But if you go on a little more, then you can just kind of hear the pin drop sometimes. And I think that there's this uneasiness with that. But that's just me. I may be wrong.
I don't even be listening to people's acceptance speeches, so I don't even know what would happen if you kept going. So I don't know.
Well, again, I cling on to words, and I read the room, and I can, I don't know.
Why would that make anybody uncomfortable, though? If you're giving your own testimony, why is somebody else uncomfortable?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Is it discomforting because you don't believe, or is it discomfort because you think the person is, you know, they label many Christians, you know, for a reason and think that you're a little off or something. So it could be a number of reasons. Hey, Matt, speaking of which, you got me in trouble last week too. Had me talking about preachers and delivering messages and all that.
In trouble with who?
Talking about some, had me, or did you say not enough teachy and too much preachy?
You said something. I just asked you to explain what you meant. You said something about preaching and not teaching. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, but when you said, what does that mean? You knew I had to say something then.
Sir, I don't know who was going to get you in trouble with people. Don't bring it up if you're not prepared to speak on it. Because I'm going to always ask a follow-up question. I need to make sure that I fully understand what's being said, and so does the audience. So if you're not prepared to unpack it, then don't pull out the bag.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. We all good. Mm-hmm. But we said last week we were going to talk about church hurt.
Mm-hmm. You said that.
Yeah, I said that. But yeah, you agreed, yeah. Though.
I mean, I feel like I was voluntold.
Well, here's the thing. I've asked several people to be a part of the episode, and no one would really, for some reason, they didn't want to be a part of this one. Now, maybe I didn't ask.
You voluntold me because nobody else would allow themselves to be.
No, not necessarily, but I know that you keep it real. I know you and I have talked about different things, and I know that people need to hear, you know, like, they need to hear about church hurt. They need to really get feedback and I want to say learn how to navigate through that. Because I think we've all had experiences that weren't so positive at a church, and you don't want to throw in the towel. Like, I've had an experience. I had left a church and went to another church, as opposed to just saying, hey, I'm done. I'm not going at all. And I know what are you going to say?
Nothing. Go ahead. Finish up.
Oh, I was going to say, I know some will say, well, that's you, but I think we tend to really, instead of looking at that specific church, we kind of clump everyone together. Whereas if you look at ministers, they will look and recognize that there are differences. There's different philosophies. There's different interpretations. And I think you're missing out sometimes all the time when you put everyone in one box and just giving up, because there are just so many benefits going through the worship experience. So Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want me to offer to this?
Well, what does church hurt mean to you when you hear it?
You're the you're the only person I've ever heard use that term.
Okay.
You say it like it's a term. Is it a term?
It is.
I've never heard that before. When I heard you saying it, to me, it sounded like some kind of trauma or something. Not to trigger things from last week's episode. But to me, it sounds like something like happened that now you are like scarred from some kind of experience that might be deeply emotional or something like that. And so when I hear that, I'm like, I don't even know if I really have. I don't feel like I'm traumatized by church, because I feel like I've heard people who have actually had situations that seem like they have really harmed them, you know, emotionally or psychologically or even sometimes physically. And so I'm like, I don't think I have anything that falls into that category. But the way that you framed it sounded a little bit more flexible and not necessarily that damaging. It just so more so like a negative experience that you had that just like impacted your participation in church. So what I would have thought it meant is maybe not what it means, but you're the only person I've ever heard use that term.
Okay. So I'm going to pull, I have the definitions.
Did you just Google it right now or you already pulled it?
I already pulled it. Come on, man. It's
okay. Crazy. All right. What is it?
So church hurt can come from, one, spiritual abuse, using scripture to control, shame, or silence. Hypocrisy, leaders preaching one thing and living another. Public shaming or gossip. Man, that one right there, I'll tell you. That's a unaddressed racism, sexism, or favoritism. Ignoring abuse or telling people to just pray instead of protecting them. Leadership betrayal, cover-ups, misuse of power or money. Legalism, rules without grace.
This is a lot of stuff.
Being discarded when you question, struggle, or leave. And I think when you, that's it. But I think under that huge umbrella, I think just about everyone has probably experienced some form of church hurt.
Can you copy that and paste it to me so I can have it?
I sure will.
In writing.
I sure will. And so, I've seen people who like have, deacons, and I've seen people from all like in ministers who just went the other way and just don't attend church at all. I knew a guy that I worked with who was a minister, and things happened and he just went an entirely different direction.
Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 fast.
I was really trying to be in my zone and talk about this. I mean, you really want it right now, but okay, let me do that. But while I do that, why do you think church hurt is so hard to talk about?
That's a great question, because you know what? Let me tell you why I'm not the best person to ask this question to. I don't think most things are hard to talk about. A lot of people be acting like stuff is so hard to talk about. It shouldn't be. I'm constantly telling my students to stop treating things like taboos. You're never going to be able to address anything if you can't first and foremost discuss it. And so people are like, oh, don't talk about religion, sex, and babies or politics. And why not? You need to be able to talk about all this stuff. We ain't that cool if we can't talk about this stuff. Because I talk about this stuff with somebody I'm not even cool with. So that's a great question when you're saying that so many people didn't want to talk. I mean, maybe people are, if you've had something, because that was a very robust list. And so if you had something that was more, that was on some of the harsher experiences on that list, maybe it just feels vulnerable to open yourself up and talk about something that's happened to you that was deeply hurtful, or maybe it'll bring back memories that you are really not wanting to sit with or even maybe share with people. You don't want people to know things that you've gone through or something like that because it feels personal. I can see perhaps if it's on the harsher end of that, or maybe they don't want to. I think sometimes people sometimes think that just bringing up issues maybe feels like for instance, there are people who are kind of like, when you talk about problems with America, especially as a Black person or even maybe another person of color, people are like, well, then don't be here. Like, well, then go somewhere else or go back to your country or your ancestors' country or whatever the case may be. And it's like, they feel like you shouldn't critique things that if you like or value. And so maybe people feel like if they are offering critiques of ways that they've been hurt by this, then it won't be well received because you perhaps are thought that you shouldn't be bringing stuff up like that. But as James Baldwin said, and I'm going to massacre this quote, but he said something to the effect of like, because I love America is why I must critique, you know, because I must help it to be better. So if that is people's thought process with not wanting to talk about church hurt, people are trying to hold back because they are concerned about offering critiques of a system or a place or entity that they love, then I would invite them to rethink their thinking on that because you love the church, you should be able to engage in those critiques and conversations to help it to be better. So I don't know what people might have their own different reasons for not wanting to talk about it. It could be many things, but if it is because they're worried about offering critiques and not wanting to seem like they are, you know, anti-church or something like that, I would just invite them to think differently.
I love that response because that's where my brain was going to, like, if you're a Christian, if you're a person of faith, and then you publicly critique or criticize what's going on in the church, you don't want people to look at you and say, well, they're supposed to be a Christian, you know? And so what happened, you internalize that and it just manifests and it causes way more harm than it could have if you were, because just like you said, it's important to talk things out and be open about it. There's a way to do it that's still therapeutic and you're not, you know, I guess, what word am I looking for? You know, just throwing flames on the church or just really just negatively criticizing them versus trying to say, hey, this is what could be done better. Or if it is an experience that you really need to talk about. So, yeah, that's a really good point.
Don't let stuff fester.
Yeah, exactly. So what about you? Did you have a moment where you were like disappointed in the church?
I've had many moments where I was disappointed in the church.
Wow.
Yes, many. So this will be, I don't know how much time I have, but.
It's yours.
And there's different things at different periods of time. So I grew up in a missionary Baptist family. And when I was going to church as a young person, I had different reasons for being disappointed. So I remember at the church that my family went to, you know, when I was, let me see, I don't know when we started going to that church, but I'm gonna say when I was around 9, like the pastor was preaching about Halloween. And like encouraging or I should say discouraging the congregation from celebrating Halloween. And they were like, you know, this holiday people dressing up as demons and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what if you don't dress up as a demon? Like, if you don't dress up as a demon, can you celebrate? And so anyway, they were discouraging. So all of a sudden, when I had trick-or-treated up till about age 8, like as a little tyke, then all of a sudden it was no more Halloween. So that was a time that I was disappointed because I'm like, I don't understand. We're not worshiping Satan because we're going out. What if you're just as an angel? We're not ourselves worshiping Satan because we're going out having this holiday. We're trying to have fun. We're kids. And so that, and the fact that even though I was a child at the time, that that still sits with me. And actually, I remember I was like, when I have children, I'm going to make sure that they don't, that they're not left out of holidays. Like, that sat with me. So it might seem trivial, but I'm like, it was not trivial at the time. And it has sat with me through adulthood and has influenced my thought process on what I wanted to do as a parent. So that was something. There was like all kinds of like, I remember we were not allowed to watch Harry Potter. Because they were like, oh, there's witchcraft and like any kind of shows or things that had witchcraft. So I, even now as my adults, like there's adults who are like, oh, Harry Potter, whatever, whatever. I missed all of that because I was not allowed to because of this. Like, and so I just feel like there were things like that as a child that bothered me. Like even the books or whatever, it was like, no, we can't read Harry Potter. You can't anything that has anything of that. You can't do Halloween, all of this kind of stuff. So that was kind of frustrating for me. At a point in time, and I may have mentioned this on the show, at a point in time, I like started to question my belief system or whatever. And I remember asking, like, how do you know that there is a God? And the answer that I got was something like, oh, the Bible says that you are able to see him in the rocks and the trees or whatever, something to that effect. And I was like, that's not evidence. And so like that, I remember, you know, stood with me. It's not necessarily a church hurt, but it's a sort of thing that was happening around this time that it was like, so then I went through a period where I was kind of like, not really. I was kind of like, well, I don't, well, if that's the case, then I don't believe because you haven't given me enough evidence. When I was like, I want to say 11 or so. When I was 18 in college, I started to go back to church. And actually the reason why I went to church, So I told this story on the, pod, where something happened that I disagreed with. And then I went, I was like, I got to talk to your bishop. And so like, I went, I talked to the bishop, I gave him an earful about something that was being shared in the congregation to a friend of mine that I felt like was harmful. But as a result of that, they wanted me to engage and like come and attend or whatever. And I ended up actually, even though it started with an argument, I started attending church after that. And then I started going, you know, every single week and I was reading scripture and I became very active and all this kind of stuff. And I was going, you know, for my entire undergraduate experience. And then, like the church was putting out political statements that did not align with my views. And so like they were saying, well, actually, let me rewind even from before that, because you also talked about like sexism and stuff like that. Like there was a time in church where somebody told me that they felt like I dressed inappropriately and that it was like I guess that it would make men feel some kind of way or whatever. And I remember being like, that's kind of ridiculous. And also just for the record, because people on this might be thinking, oh, whatever it, what I was wearing was not anything to write home about. Like it was not a Meg Thee Stallion, pasties on the nipple, nothing crazy. But it, like we're talking about pencil skirts and heels. So, so there were things like that, and there were, but like some of the statements that were being put out were things like against the LGBT community. And for me, that's just a total misnomer. I just, to me, I'm just kind of like, who was that? I think it was, there was a gospel singer recently. I want to say it might've been Yolanda Adams. Somebody was asking her about gay people. And I just will say right now, what I'm saying right now is the views of me personally and not of the Unknown Preacher LA podcast necessarily. But she put out a quote that says something to the effect of like, God knows who he created and didn't, and like nobody is an accident. And so if you were made you know, in whatever way that he made you, like, how is it to you to, like, you know, demonize people or whatever? And so the church was basically putting out, I remember even in Sunday school, they would say stuff like, well, it's not that we don't love you, it's just that we expect you to not act on it or whatever. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's intolerant. Like, you're not, you know, if you're asking somebody to not be them full self. So I would have these kind of debates in Sunday school all the time. But then, like, leadership in the church started putting out public statements about, like, where the church's stance was. And I was like, I can't be affiliated with the church that's putting these things out, because then my membership in this makes it seem that I agree with these things and I don't. So after that, I started to try to find a new church. So to your point about people who just, like, automatically stop going, I didn't do that. I tried different churches and different denominations, and I was not feeling like I was getting anything from it. At the time that I was really active in church in my undergrad years, I remember feeling like spiritually full, like I was actually getting something from my participation that was adding something to my life, and that there was a hole in my life that was being filled by church. Whereas then at that point, it felt like I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that it was adding something to my life. And I felt that I was only trying to find a church for the sake of finding one, and not because I felt like it was adding anything fruitful to my life. And so I just kind of stopped going regularly. But again, back to this idea of like, oh, you're so traumatized that you stay away from it. I don't have that kind of attitude about it. Like, if somebody invites me, I will go. I don't feel like, oh, I can't be in this environment, or it makes me so, like, if somebody's like, hey, I would like to invite you to my church. Like, actually, my mentor here, you know, I'm in a new community, and she was like, you know, I would love to, I'm going to invite you. And I said, that's fine. You can invite me and I will come. Like, I don't feel any kind of way about attending, as long as, but if I was going to attend regularly, it would definitely have to be, I would have to have some trust that I'm not going to be experiencing you putting out politically hateful statements that then I'm going to be affiliated with because of my participation. So, yeah, so those are just some kind of, you know, things. Like, I didn't appreciate the kind of comments about my clothes. I didn't appreciate not being able to do things that fun children got to do. I didn't appreciate the statements that were being put out. And I don't appreciate, you know, in general, even though it's not been churches that I personally have attended, but just like ones that you hear that are using their church as a basis for just hateful rhetoric about racial groups, or hateful rhetoric about, you know, women or things like that. Like, people have utilized their religion as reasons to colonize, as reasons to disenfranchise, as reasons to demean. And when I hear things like that, I find it very troublesome, and I don't, you know, resonate with it. And I just am just kind of like, when you're not moving with a space of love, I'm kind of like, well, where are you getting that from, and how are you interpreting in ways that lead you to such hate? So, yeah.
Wow. That was, you said a lot, and you weren't lying, man. I think that's more than average, T. But, and also you mentioned how you will attend church, but you're also co-hosting a faith-based podcast.
You asked me, right? And I said at the beginning, what did I say? I said, I have a complicated relationship, and I don't know.
But I think people appreciate your transparency on that. And I definitely don't subscribe to hate. So, but I will ask you this. The first thing, when you were talking about the trick-or-treating and all that, was there anyone who stood up and questioned, like an adult who said, hey, we got to, I don't know, through all these incidents, was there anyone who challenged or questioned the decisions that were made or delivered?
Not that I heard.
Wow. Yeah. That part right there, I guess that's where, and I wonder, and you probably wouldn't remember and know how many people just went on and left. I think that's what we do. We don't really, and I'm just as guilty. We don't really stand and say, hey, this is not right.
And well, as you heard in my story, I do.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, it sounds like you didn't have leverage, though, either. Like, you were younger. Weren't you a teenager?
I mean, I was in college, so for the first, you know, this was like 18 to 22, so.
Okay. So, mine, I've had probably two church hurt experiences, and I'll just share real quickly one. Mine was, the one that I will share, it was basically, I guess you would call it classism going on, and you would just see it, and I was financially at a different, well, I noticed, because I'm one of those people who read the room. I watch and I see how people interact, and I noticed the people who were who you would label as more successful financially, they were being treated differently than the average members. Mm-hmm. And that meant like asking them to be more involved, asking for their opinions, like really pushing them to be a part of the decisions that are going on, they had a seat at the table. And mm-hmm. where the average person, you know, and I think one of the things in church hurt, said feeling invisible. And that's how I felt, like, you know, like, it didn't matter what I said or what I thought, you know, and you just don't forget that. But I remember my mother, and that's the same way. Like, I don't care what you do, who you are, and I'm not above doing anything. I can tell you whatever it takes, I will do it. And the people who actually keep this country going, who work hard every day, we don't show them enough respect. And so I think we really, and so for the church of all people or of all places to really treat people with money differently than they do everyone else, that just, it broke my heart to the core. And it was like, I can't be a part of this, because mm-hmm. Jesus, we already know it. He was an advocate for those who didn't have the means or resources. And so it's really hard for me to say that or stand behind a church when I see people like that being ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your other example?
I don't know, for other reasons it might, because honestly, if I start talking about that other reason, it could really be very, very complicated. And fairness to all the parties, because some people, it's not my story to tell. And by doing that, I will be telling someone else's story.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'll right. just say it was enough for me to say, hey, I just got to leave, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's tough, man. Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
Can I share one other one?
Always.
I also remember one time I was driving around with an Obama sticker, mm-hmm. a bumper sticker, and the minister was like, so what are you going to do when he loses? What you going to do with that sticker?
Wow.
And I was like, it made me so uncomfortable. And I mentioned it to some other people in my congregation, and they were like, yeah, he's been posting a lot of like anti-Obama stuff on social media as well. And it's making me like very uncomfortable. And like, I don't know if I can continue going here. And like, I'm only sharing the examples that are like top of mind. So that's why this other one just came up. I'm like, I'm sure there are some other ones I could think of.
No.
I remember being very uncomfortable with that. I'm like, why would you approach me and ask me about that? Like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another good man. You've had some stories. That's all I can say. I had no idea. Well, I know one thing. God is good, because you were the perfect person to be on here talking about church hurt. That's for certain. You know. But let me ask you this. How did that affect your trust in God? Because you know, everything you talked about are good examples, but they all were pointing at man, flawed men in the church. Or maybe flawed
I don't think it changed. I wouldn't say it changed my thoughts on God at all. Because like I said, I remember when I was previously talking about prayer on an episode, and I was saying that, like, I've had some situations that let me know that when I was praying, there was somebody on the other end of my prayers answering my prayers, and I couldn't remember. I remember saying that I remember sharing a time where I said a prayer, and I said, if you handle this for me, like, I promise that I'll get baptized. And I couldn't remember what the thing was that I prayed for. And I remembered after the episode, and it was that I really wanted to study abroad, and I didn't have the money. And I prayed about it, and I got a scholarship to go, like, right after I prayed about it. So all these things that people are doing can't change the fact that I have had personally experiences, particularly through prayers, that let me know that my prayers are being listened to. So all of these shenanigans that they have. So when people ask me, I'm like, I can't tell you that there is no God. I can't tell you that. From a scientific perspective, I can't really tell you that there is, because I've never been to, you know, heaven or been to this place. I've never experienced the afterlife, and I haven't witnessed whatever is the witness. So I can't really tell you that there is, but I can't tell you that there isn't, because I know that I have prayed and my prayers were answered so immediately in some cases.
Yeah.
That I just can't, like, because I was telling the story on previously about when I was walking and I was in so much pain, and I prayed about it, and as I was walking, the pain went away. Like, that's not, you can't, man's behavior can't explain, can't push that away, and it can't explain those cases. So I'm like, I can't promise you that there is, but I can tell you that I've had these experiences, and all of these behaviors didn't change that I've had those experiences personally, but it did make me stop going to church every single. I was going multiple times a week, and it did make me stop.
Man, you said a lot right there, but I will say this. So, like, I love what you said about not turning your back on God, and it didn't affect your relationship, because that's what I was getting at. You know, oftentimes it is the person inside that building who's harmed us, and yet we turn our backs on God, right? Like, we, and so that was going back what I was saying earlier about, like, just giving up on church altogether, or just, I mean, saying, hey, I'm not opening the word, because that personal relationship is so important. Like, you can actually, I would say that's more important than the church to me. And you and I have had these discussions, the worship experience, there's a lot of benefits to that. But more important is that one-on-one relationship you have with God. And that's that, the meditating, the prayer, the reading the word, all of that is going to connect you in ways that you just can't imagine. And like you said, I know what faith has done for me, and I know, I absolutely know, I would not be where I am without divine intervention. But at the same time, you don't want it to, like, ignore the pain that someone has gone through. And I've been guilty of it as well, because I've said, you know, the church isn't perfect. You know, we say that, but we say it because we don't want you to disconnect from God, but we're oftentimes it's interpreted that you're trying to ignore the pain and the hurt that person experienced. So,
yeah, it's complicated. I can never really, it's hard for me to ascribe anybody of what they should or shouldn't do. So, like, I can understand how somebody would have negative experiences and choose to opt out. I can understand how somebody could share what that community or support system or faith has done for them and encourage somebody not to opt out. I can understand it all. And I just personally, I could never tell somebody what the right decision is for them to make and for their, like, and I will never try to, like, I will never try to tell somebody what they should believe. I would never try to tell somebody what they should do. I can only tell them, well, if they specifically ask me directly, then I might offer, but I wouldn't unprovoked.
But that's what I was going to ask you. What do you do? Like, what do you, how do you separate God from people who misrepresent God? What do you?
I don't know. I guess to me, just logically, it doesn't make sense that what some person is doing in their shenanigans that you're going to put on everything. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I just can't even rationalize connecting somebody's behavior. But I will absolutely opt out of dealing with them and what they're doing.
Uh-huh. So what would you say healing looks like then? Like, how would you start? How would the healing process start, though, if you've had all these experiences?
How are you asking me? I'm not sure that I've healed. Like, what? That's what I'm like, what you think I'm going? That's what early in the episode when you're like, we got to give people guidance. I don't think I have the answers because I don't think I've resolved these things. I'm just telling you what has happened thus far. I don't think that I'm really on the other side yet.
I actually, well, you're close to it if you're not, because number one, you're very open and candid out here. You're on the podcast telling these stories. That's the beginning of the process. And I don't know, like, you know, people always say the counseling. We had a therapist on last week. But and sometimes there are, and I actually have someone who is a therapist, but they actually have there's a religious piece to their practice as well. So they find a way to, you know, because sometimes people separate the two and they find a way to kind of intertwine the two. But I think that's another start. Or, and going back to what I said about that one-on-one relationship with God. But I do think that the process ends, and this is me, my opinion, that it does end with that person returning to church. Not that
but
church.
But see, I'm not really there. Like, I have been to church, and like I said, the last I went on Easter, like, that was a deliberate choice that I made. And there have been times before that where I chose to go just of my own choosing because I wanted to, but it's not a regular practice. So that's why I'm like, I'm not there. And I don't know how to get there.
Let me ask you, but see, you said your mentor said she would invite you to church. You didn't shut the door on that.
No, I wouldn't, but that would be a one-off. I didn't say I was going to start coming every week.
You don't know, though. You don't,
I don't
know.
I don't.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
She don't live close to me, though, so it's unlikely. If I'm gonna go, it better be less than 30 minutes drive.
Well, I'm gonna pray that when they go, because I can tell you, like, from my experiences, the church, well, everyone's different, but the people who go out of their way and introduce themselves to you and they're part of the welcome committee, they're like, hey, you know, just telling you about the church if you have any questions, not pressure.
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
This is what the church is about. We're here if you need us. That goes a long way. And because I have been to churches who, I've actually left a church and no one even knew we were going. And so that kind of confirms sometimes when you go through those experiences. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, when I stopped, people noticed. They definitely noticed.
So did they reach out to you?
Yes, they did.
That's good. That's really good. And what did you say? Did you say, hey, I'm not going back, or I'll think about it? Or?
You know, I was very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, I move around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did mask in moving.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it validated the exodus from the church for me, but it also really hurt you too, because it's like, wow, no one even knew we were gone.
Yeah, that's rough. That's really sad, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It can.
So where do you go from here? Like, what was your, when you envisioned this, were you hoping to get to a place of healing at the end of the episode?
So I'll tell you what I did. I prayed before this episode. I am totally obedient, and I know I'm a big picture kind of guy, and I know things are a process. And so there was never any pressure. There was never any expectation for an outcome. I just said that I prayed for an honest discussion, and whatever happens after that happens. This is a journey, just like with everything else. And so I actually, having you on the show as my co-host is a blessing. I'm very fortunate. And so whatever happens after that, because it was funny. I was laughing, thinking about last week. You were like, oh, you're going to make me pray or something like that, or get me praying. I was like, that's never, you know me long enough. I don't know if you were joking or not, but you know me long enough to know that that's just never been how my approach to anything. So to answer your question, there was no expectations. I love the stories you share, where we are. Where we go from here is up to the listeners who are actually struggling with church hurt, and they got to find that place of comfort. What I encourage them to do, as you and I have taught, again, read that word, pray. And if you have a spiritual, someone who you really trust and you admire, you know, ask them to be your spiritual mentor, because you can really learn a lot. And if you're not ready, that's okay too. But you'll get there because you're listening to this. So that's where I'll land.
I just want to say that I feel like you always setting me up on here to talk about something that's gonna end up in backlash. And this episode has been the biggest setup of them all.
What in the world?
Yes.
Why do people do me like that, man? They always assume that I got this plan behind the scenes, man. No.
Listen, every time, who gets on here and gets this vulnerable? You always got me saying something that somebody could push back on.
Oh, I admire you, T. I really do. I really do. Now,
well, thank you. I am feeling called to do a I can't find the word.
You got me hanging on the edge of my seat right now.
Dang it. I can't think. Is this possible?
Can I pause?
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.